We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Please let's lift up our voice and pray like we have been told to. Let's receive a supply of the Spirit, trusting that the grace of Jesus will abound. I want you to pray. In Jesus' name. Let's see Luke 18. The Lord must find us faithful to be able to wait upon Him in this season in the attitude of prayer. It's one of the burdens of the Spirit that most of the things, the possibilities to walk in the things that are being taught, we'll find them in the place of praying. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
We are in a season where men are fainting because there's an activity of spirits in the air that is causing men to weary. To weary you is to make you tired or to exhaust people. So at times you can just bear with us. At times you may just feel exhausted. Exhaustion, not even because you did anything physical. It's more of a spiritual exhaustion. The weight of assaults of the Spirit upon the soul over time exhausts. And Jesus said, men always ought to pray. Can we all say that? Can we all say that? Let's say that one more time. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the natural course of evil spirit upon the earth is to make men faint. And everything that is designed to make you faint. The design of the system of this world is to make men faint. That word faint is to get tired, to get weary, to get exhausted. Okay? Now, so if you're not going to get exhausted, you need to be able to touch some measure of life in the place of praying. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's see James chapter 5. I still want us to pray that, so I'm just exhorting us rather to be able to understand the place of prayer. So after teaching is done, I deliberately chose not to teach today. I felt that we are taught enough. Let's pray a little bit and bath some of the strength to walk in what we have been taught in the place of prayer. So James 5 from verse 13. Or let me see. Is anyone among you afflicted? Let him pray. So there are certain kind of afflictions that it's only prayer that takes it away. May the Lord grant you discernment.
Amen.
Meaning if you don't pray, that thing will stay. So you just need to be able to interpret some of them. Some of them can even be bodily afflictions. Some can be mind afflictions. You will need judgment to know what it is. And that's why I said God will give you understanding. Naturally, when you're not given to prayer, it's easy for evil spirits to mess up with you, naturally. When you're not given to prayer, I'm talking about undistracted praying, praying undistractedly, continuously, and then, what's the last one? Intermittently. So when you're not praying like that, it's easy for an evil spirit to bring any form of affliction. So when you have a nature that is not given to prayer, you likely, it is easy for life to seep away. Life. Or better say, you're not even able to convert spiritual knowledge into life. You're not able to convert the raw material of truth into life. It's in the place of prayer that you find wisdom. At times when you pray, you get understanding or wisdom to be able to walk in what the Lord is saying. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Most of the time, the personal times of communion and prayer, what God supplies, from my own experience, is wisdom. You find wisdom to be able to now do what the Lord has said. So when you are not praying and you are hearing teaching, you will not access breakthrough of wisdom. That wisdom to be able to now walk in what you are hearing. That breakthrough comes when you now settle in the place of communion and prayer what you are receiving. So, is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Meaning, let him worship. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. This is not just talking about healing of the bodies. It's actually soul healing. So there are certain soul healing that will not come except you are transparent. You confess your faults. Can we say amen? Amen. All these things, they are part of the attitude of prayer. Are you following me? The reasons why at times we don't have breakthrough in prayer is that we are not sincere before God in prayer. Okay? So somebody that has issues, one of the things you need to understand that when you come into the place of prayer, the Bible says when you stand praying, if any has ought against you, forgive. Because there's a kind of attitude. You need to be light to ascend prayer. Because at times I feel that some of us are heavy. We are just heavy. You know, that heaviness is because there are a lot of things that are clogging your systems. If your systems are clogged, you'll not be able to pray well. It's just like a pipe that has blockage. The level of flow of life is actually minimal. Okay, water can pass through, but it's not flowing like it should be. It's just like prayer. So when your systems are clogged, you'll not be able to pray. What are those things that are clogged? Bitterness, envy, okay? Or insincerity, malicious thoughts and intents, and selfish ambition. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Stubbornness, rebellion. When you are like that, you cannot pray. You cannot pray. It makes no difference what you are. You can say shabalabalabalaba from morning to night. You are not praying. Praying is more of an engagement with the Lord. And there's always a flow of life. How you know you are praying is that there's always a flow of life. Okay, so naturally, when you pray, you should get more life. If you pray and you get tired, you did not pray. You did not pray at all. Prayer lightens the spirit. In fact, at times when you pray to a point, even your physical ailment can be suspended. That's how powerful prayer is. It can even touch, life can flow from your soul to your body. There are times that if you have experienced, maybe you had malaria and you prayed and you felt malaria energy leaving your body. You felt malaria leaving your body. Just, you felt something and then you felt lighter. You felt healing anointing many times. You just feel something like an healing anointing. You touch anointing in the spirit and you found healing. That's how powerful prayer is. So, we have to generate energy in prayer to walk in the spirit. What did I say? I can't hear you. What did I say one more time? So you cannot walk in the Spirit except you find energy. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. I've taught you this before. You can visit all those messages, all right? The effectual fervent prayer. So you can see, prayer must be fervent to generate power. What did I say? Now, fervency is not necessarily how you shout. That's not fervency. It can be, cannot. That fervency is in the spirit. It's a spiritual fervency. It is more in the transaction of the spirit, how your soul is generating power from inside. It's an inside thing. It cannot be reflected on the outside. For instance, when Anna was praying, she was not shouting, but she was generating power. Oh, can somebody bear witness with that?
Yes.
Eli could pick that. She was not shouting, you know. But she was there. There was so much deep transaction. She carried burden and she was expressing that burden in the place of prayer. So fervency is the state of the soul that is in deep communion with God. Deep one. Deep communion with God. So once when you don't reach that state, normally, you should always desire to get to that state. Once you don't reach that state, you are not generating power. I don't know how I can explain this thing. It's possible that your generator is working and it's not releasing power. So prayer activity is not praying. Prayer activity should lead to praying. But you can be doing prayer activity, for instance, Shavalava, Shamanama, Shamanama, Shema, Shamanama. Or your thoughts are not engaged, because we need to, it's not good to waste your time. Your thoughts are just, you don't have mastery over your thoughts. Or when you are praying, you are not there. You know what I mean? You are not there. So while praying, your mind is somewhere else. And that is where your mind is. But it's just your mouth that is moving. You are the opposite of Anna. Can we see Anna's prayer? Because that's one of the things. I taught prayer last year. I'm going to still teach prayer this year. And I didn't finish the burning on prayer. It was just suspended. Because my desire is that we break into the spirit of prayer and supplication. There's no other way. So Anna rose up. Just take me to that place where she was praying. Anna rose up. Now Hannah, she what? Spake in her heart. Only her lips moved. Look at that. Anna spake in her heart. So I just want to know what kind of engagement that Hannah was in. It was a deep communion with God. Only her spirit, only her lips moved, but her voice was not hard. I'm not saying that your voice should not be hard. I'm only trying to show you that most likely Hannah was groaning. This is how I see it. This is a groan. It's a groan. You know, that is when you pray to a point. You pray to a point, you eat groaning. Hagin said that, you know, that it is as the spirit wills. But you will pray to a point where the spirit now lifts you. You enter into groaning. What Paul describes as groans, that words are not sufficient to utter. When you get to that point, you are not generating certain kind of power at a high level. I'm not getting your attention.
Yes, sir.
You should regularly eat groans. Occasionally eat groans. If you are a praying person, you should occasionally eat groans in the spirit. I mean, you will pray, you enter that place. You should not go like that for years and you don't experience that. I'm not saying those that mechanize, I'm thinking those that find entrance is that you just pray, then you find that door in the spirit and you enter into a certain flow. By the time you begin to come into groanings, prayer now takes you over. Amen. God grant us grace.
Amen.
Now you are not the one praying, prayer begins to pray through you. Prayer now prays through you. By that, the Lord begins to pray through you. You now move from prayer activity to entering into the spirit of prayer.
And it's not, I found out that it's not a function of hours. It's a function of work and concentration. So when you pray to a point and your mind is always concentrated, you always find that entrance. Occasionally, you just break it. And when you enter, the kind of energy you begin to generate is very high. At that kind of thing, it's almost nothing that you pray that God will not hear. Oftentimes, our prayers have less power. We don't generate enough power to get things done. Even though we may have even prayed for hours. So it's not a function of hours alone. There's a place for hours praying. If you can enter into that place and describe it and then sustain it for hours. The Bible spoke about that in the book of Acts chapter 12. When James was killed and Peter was taken there. I don't know. I didn't plan to do this, honestly. Yeah. And Peter was arrested. Take me to Acts. I'm coming back here. Are you following me? I sometimes don't like the way we pray. We pray like we don't have problem. And honestly, there is war in the air. Some of us pray like, you know, have you ever seen somebody that has problem? Maybe they told you will die tomorrow. Shall you understand? The way they pray like bad people. They pray like mad people because you know that if you don't pray, you will die. You know that kind of thing. Literal death, though. I'm not talking about spiritual death. You know, literal death. Spiritual death, Lord. Spiritual death for many people is not real. But when they say you will not die, tomorrow, meaning I will not see Saturday, I will not see Sunday, I will not see my loved one. My own go peme. You see people praying. Why do people go to Orioke to pray? The idea is that they will pray till they get solution. Now that is what they are teaching us in James chapter 5. Your Orioke is not really a physical place. It's that place I'm describing in the spirit. It is what Jesus described as a secret place where you will enter and then you will shut the door. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. That word pray without ceasing in the Greek is called, I've forgotten the Greek. Can someone let me check it quickly? But what it means is that it was stretched. They're stretched in prayer. So that's why I know that there's a place for stretching in prayer. Because if they did not stretch, they would have killed Peter. Amen. I say God is giving us understanding. You know, imagine if our prayer, how committed we are to prayer is a matter of life and death for someone. You now get people that are just being shot. You don't understand? Now, they just killed James. Let's look at first few verses. Because I want you to understand this. Maybe you can pick a burden. Now, the time came. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. So, you know, Herod is actually a principality. And anytime Herod stretches his hands, he actually kills. Herod is the Pharaoh version of the New Testament. And it's a principality in the spirit. And most times, Pharaoh and Herod, they assault physically. So at times they can even go after a minister physically. You know, some of you may not be aware that I had an accident 2 weeks ago while coming for School of Christ. And from what happened, my Corolla was crushed, almost crushed. It was just semi-crushing. But it was just an act of mercy because we moved a little bit. If we did not move a little bit, that trailer would have ran over us. I mean, that was the intention. Mommy just told him, just move a little bit. So he moved. So the thing hit us. The plan I perceived was for it to run over us completely. So most Amaka, Faithful, and Mommy were at the back. Most likely they will not survive it. Just a day, we're coming to a meeting. Just coming to church. You know, we're coming to church. We never saw that upcoming. You know, we never saw that Satan has prepared a plan to make people sorrow. Can you imagine that? We just said that 3 people died. So it can't just be as like that. You don't understand what I'm talking about?
So they killed James. And killed James, the brother of John, with sword. Eh? And now this is what he said. He said, Herod wanted to vex. What does it mean to vex? To frustrate. It's to frustrate the church. So it was to assault the church, frustrate them, to weaken their advance in the spirit. So I'm just showing you how important the prayer of the saints is. If you think your prayer is not important, you don't even know. You have number one, things will not happen in your life when they need to happen. Number two, the supply that should come through you will not come. So if you think that you can afford not to pray, you don't know how dangerous it is. Even for you as a person, you are not even safe. And because he saw that he pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So nothing will have stopped Herod. You don't understand? Amen. Nothing will have stopped Herod. I mean, he did one and there was nothing stopping him. He will have done the second one. Imagine if Peter died. Have you ever thought of that? And because he saw it, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of a living friend. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him. So this is still Herod. Herod either imprisons and then eventually decapitates. If I look at Herodic position, the first Herod went after, wanted to kill Jesus Christ at a prime age. Yes. And when he did not see Jesus Christ, he committed genocide. Yes. So everybody under age two, he was slaughtered. Then the second Herod was one that went after the head of John. Yes. Am I right? Yes, sir. Are you following me, Bible students? Yes, so and how did he go after John? John was a terrible prophet. So you don't know what it means to put John in prison. He put John in prison, then removed his head. So this is another Herod that now killed an apostle and was planning to kill another one. So, but I just want to show you the response of the church. And the Lord will help us to have the right response. Amen. In fact, we should even not be responding, we should be proactive. We should be a proactive church, meaning we should not be responding to events. We should trigger events. We should determine the course of events in the spirit. We should not be responding to what something happens. We should have prayed and we'll have covered things. So he put an aha. Amen. Now take me to verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made what? Without ceasing. So that word, like I said, was distressed in prayer. So imagine us having a prayer meeting and we don't know when we will end. What kind of people we pray in that kind of meeting? We are not calling it. We don't know when we end. I think the time we had that kind of prayer was when Prophet Richard had accident. And we're told that it was between heaven and earth. So they were sending prayer points. Pastor Friday was in my house. We're just praying. We're just praying. If you want to go to toilet, you could go to toilet to come back and meet us in the sitting room. We're just praying. Thank you. Adialeptos, all right? That's the word. Look at the word. Thank you. Uninterruptedly. That is without omission, without ceasing. There's more to this. I think there's another. The one I used to have, was more than this. But this is the point. Take me back to that scripture. Let me just end it. I'll end in James. And then we'll take one more prayer. So this is like another teaching in school of prayer. Because we need to teach people things like this. And we need to be able to teach ourselves so that we can corporately encourage ourselves to pray. So that we'll not have the problem of damping. If you have many people in our midst that don't pray, we should cancel prayer meeting corporately and just call prayer meeting of people that can pray. It is better than just carry people and then people are not praying. Prayerlessness is contagious. Sometimes I prefer praying alone. The reason why I want to pray with people is because they can pray. If they cannot pray, I'm very okay alone. Of course, two is better than one, but not anyhow two. You understand what I'm talking about? Yes. I'll just prayerlessness is contagious. If you have somebody, two, three people in your room that are not praying, very soon you will join them. It's either you pack your load and go and be sleeping in the sitting room. Eh? Or you will also end up not praying. I am telling you, prayerlessness is contagious. It's a terrible disease. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord. So this was what you call a sudden intervention, right? And light shined into the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off the hands. I mean, this was amazing. Huh? So I now discovered from this scripture, I learned that certain interventions ride on prayer power. You can't get it if you don't pray. The certain interventions of God, they ride on prayer power. You know, the angel of the Lord, why didn't the angel of the Lord stop them from killing James? I know you say it's the will of God. But they will have killed Peter too. So, the angelic intervention rode on prayer power. And he went out and followed him. So, even Peter did not understand what happened to him. And then he appeared before the church, those praying. And those people did not even know. They were just praying. Somebody saw that he saw a ghost. Did not even believe that their prayer could be heard. I said, God is awakening our hearts. Yeah. Brethren, we cannot afford not to pray. I'm telling you. We will not be able to move things in the spirit. I am telling you. And the angel said unto him, "Guard thyself and bind on thy servant." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow thee." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought it was a vision. That's even Peter himself. Continue, please. Let's read. Next verse, please. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Okay? Of course, we know that this is Jesus' mother. I hope you know. Oh, you are not answering me. Whose son name was Mark? Where many were what? Gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked the door of the gate, a damsel came to her named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but rallying and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And this is what you call breakthrough in the spirit. Can we all shout breakthrough?
Breakthrough.
I can't hear your word.
Breakthrough.
This is the true breakthrough. This is the spirit of breakthrough in prayer. Where you will pray and then things will begin to happen. And when things begin to happen, they even happen more than you can ask or think. You move into a certain realm of power. When they tell you that's what happened, you say, like can happen. That's what exactly was happening. It's not like they didn't have faith, though. They had faith, but they did not expect that kind of operation. That enrolled on effectual fervent prayer. Those are keys that we need. Can we say amen? Oh, Kabako Gemania Bron Stefana. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished.
But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Take me back to James finally. So brethren, we ought to pray and not to faint. Without prayer, everything we are hearing will not work. Let me say that one more time. I want you to get what I'm saying. Without praying, all that we are hearing will not work. So, for evil spirits, you are not dangerous, even though you are dangerous. You have a weapon, but it's not activated. You have a weapon, but it's not activated. Eh? You have a weapon, but it's not activated. Your weapon is on knowledge that has been given to you, but it is not activated because prayer is one of the operations of the spirit that arms you and makes you potent in the spirit. Can we say amen? Amen. Generally, evil spirits fear people of prayer. Now, when I mean people of prayer, I'm not just talking about the way we know prayer. They are really abuse prayer. Somebody praying cannot be walking in bitterness. A praying person is a man of faith and love. So somebody cannot be praying. Can't say, when you see somebody praying and then he cannot forgive, that he has not prayed. Because praying is a compound that involves faith and love. And that's what Jesus said. When you stand praying, and now before he said praying, he taught on faith. So faith, prayer, love. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Oh, God, yeah. Faith from verse 23. It began. And Jesus said, 22. He says, have faith in God. Eh? But verily I say unto you, whosoever what? Shall say unto this one to be what? Thou removed and what? Cast into the sea. And shall not doubt in his heart, but believe in those things which he has said shall come to pass. He shall what? Have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things that you desire when you what? Pray. So you can see, you move from faith to prayer. So faith is part of the initial spirits you must contact to ascend into prayer. Because if you ask anything from the Lord and you are doubting, you can't receive anything when you waver. So faith is important. So before you pray, make sure you have faith in your heart. Sometimes all we think is that when we pray in tongues is sufficient. Shabababa, 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 shomomambo, shobobombo. It's not that. You must have faith in your heart. Everybody say faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing by what? So what you have in your heart is actually the word that has been transformed to faith, which is now what you bring to prayer. Oh man, a fremen here, Josh to far again, yes, so it is faith you must have in your heart before you pray. What that has become faithified, faith activated. What that has become energized. So energized words are faith words. What did I say? You can write that down. Energized words are faith words. So when you have faith, your word has been energized. So faith brings you into the place of prayer. Then it says, whatever, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray. Believe. That's faith. And you shall have them. Now look at the next. It says, and when ye what? Stand praying. It's not just talking about standing in prayer. It's not talking about physical. It's talking about posture. That word stand is when you are set praying. It's talking about the posture of the heart. Can we say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Because it's possible we make sacrifice of prayer, but it's not in this order. So when you stand praying, forgive. That's love. When you stand praying, forgive. So because when you pray and you don't forgive, you are not praying. When you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. So forgiveness is a fruit of love. What did I call forgiveness? I'm not hearing you. What did I say forgiveness is? So when you stand praying, forgive. So at times when I'm praying, and I have to forgive, I can resolve forgiveness also in prayer. I receive grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release this brother. And I do not take his actions against him. Because actually, amen, I can take you to court. In the spirit, yes. There are court systems in the spirit. You can take somebody to court in the spirit. And when you take that person to court, truly, if it's your brother that armed you, you can take him to court. If you take, or you can sentence him in the spirit. Yes. When you have ought against someone that legally truly ought you, and you did not forgive that person, you have sentenced that person. Now that sentence, if the person does not remit for that sin, an evil spirit can ride on that and oppress that person. It's the way some of you are looking at me. I've not heard something like this before. You think you can believe it anyhow? Some people have entered into problems based on consistent wrongs on people. People that were holding you. I'm not talking about people holding you based on suspicion. They are holding you based on the fact that you really ought them. That's why they told men to dwell with their wives in knowledge. The person that can hold you most is who? Yes. So you just be living and your heavens are closed. Imagine a man living for years on a closed heaven. Most men are like that. They don't know. They are hustling. They are sweating. They are not living by the economy of grace. Because somebody is legally holding them. And they sleep on the same bed. So that's why they said that. Just when they said dwell with them in knowledge, you know how to walk in love. It's love walk. So that your prayers will not be in that. So unforgiveness does what to prayer? Come on, what does unforgiveness does? So if when you start praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, look at that. Give me a recent translation for this, verse 25, quickly. Sorry. It's short teaching. I didn't plan teaching. But are you learning anything? If you go home, listen to this message tonight or tomorrow morning before you pray. It's not long. Right? Because I'm just supplying understanding. I want you to pick burden to always pray. Don't let prayerlessness be your second nature. Satan is already kissing you. When prayerlessness become your second, my everlasting life, sir. It's even more terrible when you are hearing high advanced teaching and it's not moving you to pray. Because more understanding, more what? Praying. Naturally, the next thing that should be coming out of your lips is prayer. Mercy. Lord, that's prayer. Lord, have mercy. Oh God, show me mercy. It's prayer. During the day while you're walking, you should be mumbling prayer. That's how you know that people are not rising to play. Is that they are already conceiving burden based on what they are hearing. So I tell you, you can pray for anything. No. Aha, okay, verse 25. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. So that your Father in heaven will what? Then there's another one too that Jesus said. This is one. You know, you compare scripture with scripture. Another one is in Matthew chapter 5. Take me to the Matthew chapter 5 version. When you say when you want to offer your gift in the altar, that gift is not necessarily God give us understanding. Prayer is a kind of gift. It's a kind of offering. It's a kind of sacrifice. Take me to that place when it says, oh, you want to offer. Amen. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Are you there? Start from verse 22. Quickly. Start from verse 22. But I say unto you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, look at that. Some of you that just get angry without a cause. The scriptures is not against anger. It's against sin. So, but this is anger without what? There's no reason.
Look at it very well, because these things we do it. It happens in brethren life. Eh? Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of what? Meaning that you are in danger of them judging you. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka. What's the meaning of Raka? How many of you know what's the meaning of Raka? Fool. Shall be in the danger of the council. This is heavenly council. So it means that they monitor conversations on the earth. Much more, they monitor conversation amongst brethren. So you can't just open your mouth and say, fool. You can't be saying things like that. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be what? Please, let me know the meaning of that raka. I don't want to make a mistake. Let me be sure. Hallelujah. Please, you can. If you get it before me, just tell me. Empty-headed. All right. So, raka means empty-headed. Look at it very well. What did Amplifier calls it? Okay, let's start from verse. But I say unto you, everyone who continues to be angry with his brother, look at that. Are you with me? These are the things that stop prayer. And you can be coming to Tuesday prayer meeting and not enjoy the benefit of praying. Huh? We have to divorce from all these things. I say unto you, everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice against him, Onisin, shall be guilty before what? The court. I'm going to teach on court systems of prayer. I just feel that I need to touch it a little bit. I want you to know how prayer is. That when you are in praying, you are using legal systems in the spirit. And whoever speaks contemptuously, look at that, and continue, insultingly, contemptuously, to his brother, Raka, you empty-headed idiot, shall be guilty before what? They call it the Sanhedrin. So maybe, I don't know, maybe in that time, maybe, when you do that, you can go and meet the Sanhedrin then, where they held us. But much more, I believe that this is more than the physical court systems or rulers of men. They are court systems in the spirit. Whoever says you, fool, shall be in the danger of the fiery hell. Now, let's continue. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother has what? So that gift does not have to be money or whatever. That gift is a sacrifice. What did I say that gift is? Because what you do on the altar is to offer sacrifice. So your gift can be prayer. It can be a gift of prayer, an offering. Huh? Leave thy gift before the altar. It means stop praying. Thank you. Because, you know, we need to interpret these things. It means at that time, just stop praying. Shablaba, shablaba, roar, roar. And then you just remember that you have issues with somebody. Just roar. Just run it down. And look at how we are going to handle that thing. And go thy way. What do you mean go thy way? Stop praying. At that point. Just round up your prayer. First, be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy prayer. Continue your prayer. So, it can happen. Maybe you have issues with your wife. And then you are praying. And you now find out that there are issues. Stop praying. Stop praying immediately. End the prayer. And go and meet her. So that there's something that I just feel I need to confess to you. That's what the Bible says. Confess your faults one to another. And if any be what? Confess your fault to one another.
and pray for one another, and ye shall be what? Healed. So this healing is God, eh? Taking away infirmity of your soul. All these things are the things that stop potency in prayer. The Lord give you understanding. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. So we want to have power when we pray. So when all these things are catered for, what is coming out of your spirit? A power. You generate power. The heart is focused. The heart is in faith. The heart is in love. The heart can generate power unto God. Can we stand to our feet and begin to just, let's just thank God. I believe that something has dropped in your spirit tonight. Let's just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord tonight. Just thank Him. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we, can you ask the Lord, and let's repent for not giving ourselves fully to prayer. Except you know you are praying very well. You may not have to do this. I want you to repent for, if you need to repent for prayerlessness, please do that right now. You know that you are not praying as you ought to, or you are careless concerning prayer. Can you ask God for mercy and receive grace through tonight's teaching that you are going to make adjustments in praying, that you are going to give yourself more to prayer. You give yourself more to prayer. You give yourself more to prayer. Kalabronia fagadabanata. Avagadabanata. 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 Repepepe koko jeje meni yasofra papa kore meni yatabata. Repepe kole meni shishu meni yalabrani yasafaniata. Lord, we ask for mercy for not being responsive well in prayer. Lord, we ask for grace. The Lord, you grant us grace. Lord, from today, that will spark a new fire in prayer, a new energy in prayer, a new commitment in prayer, a new devotion in prayer. Lord, we ask for mercy in the name of Jesus. Grant us grace. Grant us grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. When you don't pray often, you'll be feeling dirty and smelling in the spirit. Just like when you don't bath for days. So when you don't pray, and when you're like that, it means you are vulnerable to certain bacteria. So in the realm of the spirit, when you are prayerless for a very long time. Now, when I say you are prayerless, does not mean you are not doing routine prayer. Some of us, when we pray, we sleep all the time. You are not praying, sir. All the time you pray, we can record you sleeping like 30 minutes. By the time they pack all the... If it's not sleep, it's distraction in thoughts. That's not prayer now. It's better you pray for 15 minutes, concentrated, potent. The most important thing in prayer is communion, deep communion with God and generating power. So you now know that most of our prayer time, maybe it's 1 hour prayer you pray. Out of that 1 hour, you may not have prayed more than 15 minutes. The remaining 35 minutes or so, or maybe 45 minutes, your thought was, all kinds of things were happening. So imagine if you cannot pray for 1 hour, this 1 hour prayer, indeed, of generating power, your life will change. There's no way your life will not change. Your devotion will change. Your walk with God will change. Now, if you find out that you are not changing like you ought to, if you are like that, it means that your prayer is not generating sufficient power. Because you need power to move in the spirit. You need power to journey in the spirit. You need power to generate fruit in the spirit. Remember the teaching I taught last year, that series on prayer. We need power to generate things in the spirit. I'm not talking about even power to, I'm talking about power to become. Those things, it is as we labor in prayer that we find grace. So when you find out that you hear and you are not changing, or you are hearing and some things are not happening, it means that what we conclude that cycle is that you must bat something in the place of prayer. May the Lord grant you grace and help you to access a new dimension of praying. Let us begin to thank the Lord tonight. Father, we give you thanks. We receive this exhortation tonight as the word. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us spontaneously. We'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.